The night before he was due in court, Nigel Warren slept badly. He rose before daybreak, poured himself breakfast, and considered the cloud he's been living under for the past few months.
I rented out my place for a few days, and I made $300.
Last summer, Warren posted his fifth-floor East Village walk-up on Airbnb and rented it to a traveler from Russia. So far, so good. A few days later, his landlord received a flimsy yellow piece of paper. It said the apartment was being run as an illegal hotel and had racked up an impressive array of violations.
So, having got $300 and being threatened with fines of $30,000 is just so... the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
$30,000.
Yeah.
That's his worst-case scenario, but the penalties, if there are any, could be smaller. Warren is 30 years old and works as a web designer. On this morning, he's on his way to a hearing where he'll try to convince a judge that he did nothing wrong. His financial well-being depends on it. Until recently, it wasn't so common for New Yorkers to rent out their homes on a short-term basis. But like so many other things, the internet now makes it easy. Airbnb says it helped 17,000 people find a place to stay in New York on New Year's Eve. The company also helped find temporary housing for hundreds of New Yorkers made homeless by Sandy.
I also wanted to acknowledge Airbnb, which is...
Mayor Bloomberg, speaking 1 week after the storm.
I think it's another great example of the private sector using technology to help address this emergency.
Perhaps, but it's also an example of how emerging technologies can run smack into government regulation. New York's multiple dwellings law, which was recently tightened, makes most short-term rentals in larger buildings illegal. In 2011, the most recent year available, inspectors issued nearly 2,000 related violations. John Feinblatt, chief policy advisor to Mayor Bloomberg, notes that the city has different building codes for private homes and for hotels. He says enforcement is a priority.
Hotels have sprinkler systems. Hotels have those instructions on the back of the door that tell you how to get out during an emergency, because we know that people who stay for a week or a day or 3 days need these extra supports in case of an emergency.
For a long time, Airbnb brushed aside these kinds of concerns. The site said it was up to individual users to know what their local laws are and to follow them. Now the company is taking the law more seriously. David Handman is Airbnb's head of global public policy.
What we're really trying to do is look at the big markets where they have some laws, like in New York, that make it harder for host to host, and to change those laws.
Handman is now spending lots of time in City Hall and in Albany trying to build support for the idea that people like Nigel Warren should be able to rent their homes without ending up here, the Environmental Control Board. It's a little bit like visiting the Department of Motor Vehicles. You take a number, fill in some forms, and sit in a room full of strangers waiting to be called. Warren arrived with a folder full of documents, ready to make his case. But the lawyer for the city asked the judge for more time to produce evidence. And so the threat remains. Nigel Warren may still owe $30,000.
So, how are you feeling?
Tired. I'm a little frustrated. But this is life, right? What do you do?
Warren knows the responsibility for this headache ultimately lies with his landlord. And he could leave this for his landlord to deal with, although he might face eviction. But he says a sense of personal responsibility compels him to fight the fines, so he'll be in court again on February 20th. For WNYC, I'm Ilya Meretz.